I might point out that these results were obtained from speakers with considerably different speaking rates. One seemed to the observer to be a slow and careful speaker, and the other seemed hasty and erratic. Yet the establishment of vowel duration ratios for both was quite clear. The ratios in question were for one speaker, 0.54 for Skitty and 0.55 for Skitty, while for the other speaker, the ratios were 0.89 for Skitty and 0.84 for Skitty, out of a total of 110 spoken tokens for each speaker. It is clear from these figures that the duration ratio itself is idiosyncratic to the speaker, apparently part of what makes the individual speaker recognizable. But once the characteristic vowel duration ratio of any particular speaker is determined, his vowels in such units should always be recognizable. The discovery of vowel duration ratios in disyllabic words with one medial consonant in English suggests that English may be temporally organized like Finnish or Estonian. That is, in terms of units of one, two, or three syllables, internally organized by vowel duration ratios. As far as I can determine, the work that needs to be done to establish duration ratios for possible combinations of vocalic sequences, such as in ready, polo, buddy, callow, and so on, has barely begun. However, it seems to me that here may be the key to the problem of designing the phoneme-generating aspect of the speech synthesizer. If, as Atmar says, analog simulation of the vocal tract is the only method of true speech synthesis known, then the organization of temporal relations within large phonological units, like words and phrases, as performed by the brain, should be simulated by speech synthesis machinery. But on what basis? What I have said so far implies that every English word will have its own temporal program. And in fact, Kozhevnikov and Histovich have concluded on the basis of their work that the basic storage frame of a word in the memory is in the form of the temporal structure of the syllables. However, if we must store each word with an idiosyncratic temporal structure, we will need a large memory. It is indeed conceivable to give the machine a basic vocabulary of 350 to 500 words, and it is also conceivable that we might like to store stock phrases as such, such as thank you, what do you mean, all right, and so on. However, there may be a way to cut down on the storage problem. Words can be categorized according to the syllable types and syllable unit types they contain, the number of syllables, and the place of accent. For purposes of this paper, I will assume that accent can be independently set up as a change in pitch and perhaps intensity. If the syllables and syllable units can be related by vowel duration ratios, they can be cross-referenced with tables which list the timing relations of such larger units in terms of the duration ratios holding among their internal members. Words could then be stored in terms of these units. As long as the relevant duration ratios are maintained among all members of the unit, the actual duration of the units may be longer or shorter, depending on the needs of speech tempo, without sacrificing recognizability. Perception-oriented tests reported by Garns, 1975, and performed by her for Modern Icelandic, and similar tests for English by Dinas, 1955, Lehista, 1972, and Bond, 1971, indicate that the perceptual process is dominated by perception of the word as a whole. In these cases, the words are mono and disyllabic, and that the identification of the segments does not proceed segment by segment, but depends on the durational ratios of the segments involved, rather than the absolute durations of either vowel or consonant in the unit. Warren H. Fay, 1966, concluded from his work on temporal sequence in the perception of speech that, quote, what appears to be the critical factor in any speech perception experiment is the listener's reference patterns, or the so-called comparator of servo models. Man's comparison patterns for speech are language patterns, and regardless of whether storage is predominantly auditory or motor in nature, the essential dynamics of language itself cannot be overlooked, unquote. From these observations, it seems to me that the difficulty of determining what phoneme your speech synthesizer is really saying may be partly due to the apparent use of a speech sound no larger than a phoneme when testing for phoneme identification. One must know all the other phonemes of the machine's phonemic system in order to identify any one member. That is, the hearer must have the complete reference pattern available for comparison. Without a larger unit consisting of more than one phoneme, the hearer has nothing immediate to compare the sound to. The identification of any speech sound appears to be possible only when there exists a complex of mutually conditioning and conditioned speech sounds related by duration ratios. I must emphasize that the establishment of specific duration ratios in syllables, disyllabic units, and trisyllabic units for American English seems to be in its early stages. Part of this relative lack of information may be due to the fact that current linguistic theory has not been able to incorporate the discoveries and advances of acoustic phonetics into its theoretical constructs, as Lahista has already noted. The linguistic emphasis on contrastive elements, the phonemes, which are static constructs and independently defined, ignores the phonetic conditions under which phonemes can be recognized and identified, and therefore the mutually interdependent relations that obtain and which are necessary to the perception of the segmental components of a phonetic unit. English can be said to be an isochronous language. That is, spoken English tends to be organized in stress groups of approximately the same duration. If such isochronous groups include a varying number of syllables, their duration, that is, those syllables, must vary according to the number of syllables included in the group. The spacing between main stresses tends to remain constant. Isochrony is most familiar from poetry, where the poet consciously sets up a rhythmic figure, called a metrical foot, and chooses his words to fit the framework. Words may be drawn out or compressed in order to satisfy the rhythm, as in Tennyson's famous lines, "Break, break, break on thy cold gray stones, O sea," where each foot is approximately the same duration. In the case of poetry, based on metrical feet, the rhythmic frame is chosen first and the words fitted into it. The speaker of English can do the same. He can set up a moderately flexible sentence rhythm independently of the grammatical divisions of his sentences, and also choose his words to fit the rhythm and to allow the rhythmic stress to land on the right words, that is, on the nouns and verbs, instead of on the prepositions and the conjunctions, for instance. Of course, the rhythmic figure or metrical foot, which the speaker voluntarily or characteristically adopts, may be long or short, and may be changed in mid-utterance for various kinds of effect. But he will have a stable basis for rhythm, analogous to musical measures, with a relatively constant duration. If we make the assumption that the stressed syllable has a minimum constant durational domain, we have two reference points for timing the utterance, the measure and the principal reference point within the measure. If the rhythmic figure is assumed to be independent of the grammatical categories, the selection of units of meaning, that is, words, to match the phonetic rhythm allows a motivated choice of words that fit the rhythm instead of those that don't. Your speech synthesizer could then make what appear to be stylistic choices of words, but which are actually choices based on rhythmic requirements. In this way, a kind of hierarchical structure can be built up. Syllables as temporal units with internal negative correlations of segment duration, disyllabic units with internal negative correlations of syllable duration or vowel duration, and so on. To illustrate this idea, I have prepared a handout, which you have, which analyzes three sentences taken from the March 1977 issue of Scientific American. On the third page, you will see that I put the first two sentences into a musical format. A musical format seems to be the best way of showing the interrelations of duration, stress, and pitch. And in this case, of course, it's highly simplified and schematized. I thought some of calling it the saga of the single queen and then thought better of it. When the sentences are presented as sequential lines of stress groups, as I've done in the first two pages of the handout, the internal balancing of measure types is more clearly seen. For example, in the first sentence, quote, an analysis of a simple two-person game can lead into fascinating corners of number theory. The sentence shows regular pattern recurrence. Stress plus one syllable occurs in lines 3 and 5. Stress plus two syllables occurs in lines 4, 6, and 8. Stress plus three syllables occurs in lines 7 and 9. I am tempted to suggest that such intricate rhythmic and syllabic balancing within a sentence is a mark of good style. Certainly, Mr. Gardner did not write these sentences especially for me to analyze, but the sentences do seem to lend themselves to an analysis in terms of duration ratios of larger and smaller nested units in a hierarchy. I might point out that a musical format might be a very convenient one for working out the timing relations as well as the pitch and intensity relations. The latest issue of Creative Computing, that is March, April 1977, has several articles on the relation of music and computers which might offer useful ideas. And of course, the displays at this fair will also be helpful. This paper is somewhat speculative, but an overall theory of speech timing seems to be a more fruitful way of dealing with speech synthesis than stringing phonemes together one by one. So far as I know, the relevant duration ratios I have been discussing are not available in useful detail. Pilot studies made at The Ohio State University all remark that this area of speech timing should be investigated more thoroughly. Therefore, I wish to call your attention to this aspect of research and urge those of you who have a phonetics laboratory at your disposal to consider the determination of duration ratios in speech as an important and useful field of inquiry. I'm advised it may also be possible to do this on your home computers. It seems to me that the problems of both accent and speech recognition might be brought closer to solution if more sophisticated approaches to the problem of speech timing and the reference patterns of the entire phonological system are taken into account. Once the timing has been stabilized, the integration of pitch and intensity parameters should be easier. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Yes.
To get a better idea of the problem, how many English words are there and how many are normally used in everyday conversation?
There are about 325,000 English words, at least when I last count in the dictionary. It depends. There are proposals saying that a basic vocabulary of 500 words, basic English, you ought to be able to handle practically any concept by, you know, putting words together in various ways. If you wanted to increase your vocabulary to something like 2,000 or 3,000 words, this is probably the speaking vocabulary. Recognizing vocabulary would, of course, be much larger.
In other words, like reading vocabulary, you might be on the order of 10,000 or 20,000
words. Oh, yes. 10,000, 20,000, 30,000.
Like but read a newspaper.
That's right. That's right. You read and understand a lot more than you actually speak.
So speaking somewhere in the area of, say, 1,200 to 2,400 words or 3,000 words would be a fairly good vocabulary as a general purpose in terms
I
of
think
speech.
So. I think so. If you set your computer up with, say, a basic vocabulary of 500 to 1,000 words and make sure you don't talk to it in any other words, then you ought to be all right. Yes?
Is a copy of your paper going to be available?
It's going to be in the proceedings. He would like to know if a copy of the paper is available. I have my reading copy and that's it. However, I have included with the paper, and if you would like to have copies, you can leave your name and address with me, but I'll have to charge because after all, the Xeroxing is going to get out of sight. But I have included the tables of these duration ratios for the words that Lahista used, and you will be able to see some interesting relationships. For instance, words like stead actually take longer to say than the word steady. Stead will take, for this particular speaker, 712 milliseconds. Steady, which is actually, one would say, longer in phonemes, takes 518. There are also two tables of the negative correlation figures, which I think might be interesting. I personally feel this is a very important area that needs to be investigated. Yes.
How do you measure those things?
Lahista measure them, I believe, with a spectrograph. And one of the difficulties, of course, is that you begin to get in L's and R's and nasals like M and N. It's hard to decide where your syllable boundary is. It's hard to measure. On the other hand, she's been able to show in Estonian that large disyllabic groups must be organized internally by ratios. So it's an area that will require some sophistication. Something like that. Yes?
How do you think the use of computers is going to change the way linguistics is studied? Is it going to help, study languages?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think the whole area of speech synthesis is going to make us reevaluate what we're doing in linguistics. Because if we set up theoretical constructs like phonemes, which are, after all, you can say we have a certain range of formant frequencies and a certain range of duration and a certain, well, pitch is variable. And we're going to name that, say, T. We can't go then on the supposition we have T thoroughly characterized, which is sometimes the case we unconsciously decide we can characterize it completely by saying the tongue touches the back of the teeth and we close off the air for a minute. That's not enough. So I think that speech synthesis will be extremely helpful, making us rethink what we're doing, how we're actually dealing with speech and the relation between what means something and what it sounds like. Anybody else? Yes?
I have a couple of questions. You did say that, I can't recall exactly, something to the effect that generative linguistics or something of that nature cannot adequately represent information as we find it in phonetics.
That's right.
And I was wondering about whether you were choosing to include natural generalist theories within that domain.
No. I feel natural phonology is taking account of phonetics and wishes to. This is a fairly new area in linguistic theory, and there are a number of different, sub schools in there. But they certainly wish to say, look, we've got to relate our mental constructs to the real world out there, and you're not doing it, and we're trying. So I wouldn't include that in my my put down of T.G. Brenner.
Okay, can I ask one other question?
Sure.
I have not been involved in this for 3 or 4 years, been working mostly with computers. And it seems to me that a lot of people are really unclear about why there were things like from the start with. That some consideration of notions of minimal contrastiveness and such have kind of just almost wholly been lost from what people view the method we use for determining the parts of speech.
It's a little weird, I'll have to say. Well, there's a fair amount of theoretical turmoil in the linguistic area, and it is true that the classical phoneme was looked down upon for a while, but there are a great many things about that concept that are useful. It still is being sorted out, so that. I think that if we start from the point of speech synthesis and saying, what are we really finding in our spectrograms? What are we really finding in the acoustic dimension? Be enormously helpful in saying, how are we using this to express ourselves? But I can't give you really a very clear answer because I don't clearly understand your question.
Well, what I was trying to suggest is that it might be valuable. I have a another problem with that is that I came in the middle of their lecture.
Yeah, that tends to.
I'm not sure if you need to ask questions at all. So I would wonder if people at large, particularly those that are present in this room, are clear about what causes people to decide that, that a retained vegan and an aspirated one all kind of fall into the same domain. In particular, maybe I should just shut up.
I'm
also unclear about why, what warrant we have to view the acquisition of greater detailed information about the nature of duration in itself without considering other aspects such as bowel quality, the acoustic properties of consonants and their formation and how they interact in especially longer speech groups.
Well, when you think about it, you have a great many parameters to deal with when you're dealing with speech. You have duration, you have pitch, you have at least three formants to deal with, you have intensity, and you can't integrate these all at once. You have to do them pairwise. So I'm suggesting that if we start and get the durational relationships kind of stabilized, we can then, after that's stabilized, integrate the parameters of the formants, the aspiration, whatever. Because if you can't do it all at once mathematically, you simply can't. It's the old three-body problem in physics. So you have to do it pairwise, and I thought duration is a good place to start. Yeah?
Are you going to be available at all during the rest of the day?
Well, it depends on what you mean. Yes, I'll be here for a little while. Oh, yes, yes. Well, I don't know if there's another session coming in after this. Is there?
Is there somebody else?
Well, I'll be out in the hall then. And I'll be glad to take your name if you want to copy the paper. And so on.
Is there some place that we could say continue this session? I noticed in these notes here that there are little gathering areas for different topics or something.
Well, it would be nice. I know relatively little about the organization of this fair.
Yeah.
I just came in to give my speech.
Topic-oriented social centers.